Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Valerie, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
I'm excited to talk to you as well. Can you tell me how you first found Organize 365?
Well, in January of 2021, I was in the middle of a stay-at-home move, which was interesting. And I was listening to some other podcasts, like on organizing, decluttering, or like home organization. And you know how sometimes it'll give you like a recommendation. If you like this podcast, you might like this one. And you came up. So I clicked on it.
So first of all, wait a minute. We all have to know, what is a stay-at-home move?
A stay-at-home move is when you get outbid on two houses and you get tired of looking for a house and you decide that your current house is just perfect. But it really needs to be updated because of years of children and dogs, and it just needed to be updated. It needed to be painted. It needed to be cleaned out. It needed to be decluttered. And I thought, well, if we were going to move, we would have to pack it up anyway, right?
Yeah.
So I just packed up the whole house in boxes and put it in the basement and pretended that we moved. Every picture came off the wall. The only thing that was left in the house was the clothes you needed to wear, the dishes you needed to eat off of, cookware, toiletries, the sofa to sit on, the TV, the dog's food.
Okay. I'm loving this. And actually, I think a whole bunch of people are going, well, so does that mean you got the whole house painted? You got new carpet?
Yes.
Did you get new furniture?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I want to do this. So this is so interesting because I got new carpet during the pandemic thinking that I was, you know, an empty nester now. And I got like white carpet, which is already ruined because clearly I'm not, because Abby got a dog and then Abby got a baby and now I'm a grandma. And so now I have ruined white carpet. I'm like, I should have done what I wanted to do, which is rip it all out and just put the hardwood in. Like, so I'm seriously considering it because we're not going to move.
Yes. Go for it.
And I've been thinking, well, I have to move all this furniture. And then I thought, well, my dining room table is my grandma or my mother-in-law's. I've never had a dining room table. So why would I need to move it? Just get it out, get the new floor in, get a dining room table. Happy 50th birthday. You finally get to have a dining room table that's your own.
Well, I will pre-warn you that this took, well, now realize I did an entire house. So it took a little bit longer than I realized it was going to take.
It couldn't have taken that long. It was only a year ago.
It took a year.
Yeah, but what'd you do? We want to know what you did.
What didn't I do? Every single thing in this house was analyzed as to whether it was needed, it could stay, it could go, or if it needed to be replaced. And the one reason why I wanted to pack everything up and get all the pictures off the walls was I was afraid that I would decorate around. And I would choose things around the stuff that was on the walls. A lot of the stuff we got back out and reused, but I didn't want the picture on the living room wall to dictate the furniture I was going to pick out. Does that make sense?
Totally. I mean, okay. I am 100% tracking with you. I've never heard of this before. And I am like, you know, because Greg and I have decided we're not moving. Like we put the deck on, we're not moving. So now I'm like, okay, well, every couple of years, then we can invest X in continuing because the bones of this house are great. There's really nothing left to do, but there are some cosmetic things I'd like to change.
Yes.
Still.
Yes. Well, I found it very helpful when I packed everything up. So then I packed everything up and in the basement, everyone had an area. So everyone's boxes were labeled like son, daughter, husband. So everyone's boxes went into their own boxes and went into their own section. So once that room was painted, okay, so whatever furniture was going to be kept went back into that space. The room was painted. Then those boxes were given to that person. And I said, okay, now you have to go through this and set your room back up. And what I found was that they got rid of quite a bit of stuff because they would pull it out of the box and go, I really don't want this. I'm too old for this now. I don't really use this anymore. So that helped so much in the decluttering, because I think sometimes when you're decluttering and you look at an entire bookshelf, it's overwhelming. But if you have to pull things out of a box one at a time, touch it and go, okay, do I really want this?
And did you declutter as you were boxing things up too?
I did, yes.
Okay. Okay.
But I couldn't declutter other people's stuff.
Right. Agreed. Okay. So other people, who lives with you?
So it's me. I'm 56. I have a husband who's 57. I have a daughter who is 21, a senior in college, comes home for vacations and school breaks. And then I have a son who's 25 who lives in town, but he does not live with us. He has his own house. Oh, and the dogs. So there are two dogs. They're small. They weigh about 17 pounds each. They look like giant white cotton balls. So Casey is 10 and Mickey is 3.
Oh my goodness. So what did your kids and your husband think of this living through renovation year?
Well, I explained to my husband that I had listened to this podcast and this woman said there were these things called golden opportunities. And since I started this in September 1st of 2020, I started the stay at home move in September 1st of 2021 when we got outbid on our second house. So I told my husband, I said, you know, there's this thing called a golden opportunity. And I started it September 1st, 2020.
Yeah.
And it ended August of 21.
Okay.
Okay. Do I have my dates correct now?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I said, you know, we're in a lockdown. We can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. Why not take this opportunity just to do what we've been wanting to do for years?
Yeah. And have you lived in the same house your whole marriage?
No, we moved in this house in 2003.
Okay, but still, that's a long time.
Yes. My youngest was 3.
Okay, great. All right. So you found Organized 365, though, in 2021. So your house was already boxed in the basement. Cracks me up, although also want to do it. So you've already started on this, redoing the whole house. You've already boxed everything up. How does Organized 365 come into play with this story?
Well, I've always been an organized person, but I just feel that through the kids graduating from high school, going to college, becoming empty nesters. So now the decision has been made. Okay, we're going to stay in this house, right? So we're not going to move. So I was great at decluttering, but I was not good at organizing.
Oh.
I can throw anything in the garbage can. It makes me so happy to do that. But I just did not have that skill set of the flow. Mm. Okay, so if I'm going to unpack this kitchen and put it back together, your organization was, okay, where are your zones? Set up your drink station, which we did. We have the best coffee station now. It's so wonderful. And so set up your drink station, set up where your dishes are, set up where your glasses go, where are your plates, where's your prep zone? And we don't have a big house, but the small pantry that I do have. So that was set up a little bit better. Snacks are on one shelf. Canned goods are on another shelf. Starches are on one shelf. The dogs have their own cabinet now. Dog food, dog toothbrush, dog bowls, flea medicine, tick medicine, heartworm medicine. So it was kind of like you always said, put like things together. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're going to clean out the utensil drawer, which just clean out the utensil drawer, let's only put utensils in that utensil drawer. And you really don't need 10 spatulas. You really kind of need 2, one for the outdoor grill and one for the indoor cookware.
Yeah.
Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Yes, totally.
So then that kind of applied to every room in the house though. Okay. So now if we're going to do the bathroom, okay. So my husband gets a drawer. I get a drawer. You know, cosmetics are now in a container. I saw your little container that you did that had all your makeup in it.
Yep.
So my makeup's in a little container now. I'm not as good as you. I don't go all the way around the circle and do it in order, but it's in a container. So it's all in one place.
Yeah. Yeah. So it added from the decluttering to the organizing. And then as you redid the house, you were increasing the productivity for the next phase of your life that you're going to stay inside of that house.
Yes. And I'm just now starting, I think, to see the increase in productivity. Mm-hmm. Just because the house is about 99.9% put back together. We just have a couple more boxes in the basement to go through. So now I'm starting to see the increased productivity. And then another way your podcast really helped was you kept saying, okay, when you get done with this, you're going to have extra time on your hands. What are you going to do? And I could see that coming because as everything got put back together, I wasn't spending so much time per week on the house. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what are you going to do with all that time?
Oh, I've already started. I'm hiking. I'm going out of town. Vacationing. I'm hanging out with my mom. She lives in Alabama. So I go to Alabama quite a bit. Just went on my first big hike this past November, which was to Joshua Tree in California.
And were you a hiker before?
No.
You just decided you're going to start hiking. So yes. Like I could decide to start hiking?
Yes.
Unbelievable. I have my friend in the UK who like climbs mountains for fun. And now I was like, so what are you going to do next? She's like, oh, I'm going to do 2 back-to-back marathons in 2 days across the Sahara Desert. I'm like, did you just say that like in a casual sentence? Like, I was like, Valerie, that could be you next year. Yeah, I'm hiking through this mountain now. But I think we do think that we can do, either you're an exerciser or you're not, you're organized or you're not. Like, and that as we get older, like we're locked into whatever our choices were in past decades of our lives. And no, like, so you just started hiking. How do you start hiking?
There's a wonderful group and they're called Rhodes Scholar, but it's R-O-A-D-S, mm-hmm. Rhodes Scholar. Mm-hmm. And they specialize in travel for like 50 years old and above. Mm-hmm. So then you can just go onto their website and you can choose all kinds of travel. I mean, like if you want to just go sightsee, you don't have to hike. You can go on hiking trips. You can go on biking trips. You can go on food cooking trips. You can go international. You can go local. You can go within the United States. So the trip that I went on this past November to Joshua Tree is with Rhodes Scholar. So then in 2022, I'm doing Utah, two parks in Utah through Rhodes Scholar. One of them is Zion. I can't remember what the other one is right now.
This is like camp for 50-year-olds. Sign me up.
Because you spend the night in a great hotel and they put you in a van to take you to your drop-off point. Then you do your hiking like 6 to 10 miles a day. Then you get back in your van and then you go stay in your hotel and they feed you yummy food.
I didn't know there are camps for when you turn 50. I'm turning 50. I want to go to camp.
Let's go.
I want to know. Okay. Everybody listening. I want to know about all the camps that I'm now eligible for now that I'm going to be 50. Like I am so excited. Like I'm excited to be a grandmother, but also I'm so excited to do traveling and just seeing the world. I remember when I was young and my grandparents got an RV and for 10 years, they just traveled all over the United States and then they sold that. And then they started flying all over the world. And I was just like, I cannot wait for that phase of my life.
It's fun.
Yeah. Okay. So back to organizing. So what's happened in this journey of getting organized that you didn't expect to happen?
I forgot what I put on my piece of paper, but there has just been so many things. Let me think for a second. I think the number one thing is there's just been, I just don't second guess myself as much anymore. I think I feel so much more confident in my decision making. But you know, you have to realize, like when I found your podcast in January of 21, I listened to you for a couple of weeks and then I made my own Sunday basket out of a cardboard box because obviously I was packing. There was a lot of cardboard boxes around. And I did it for like 2 to 3 weeks and I was like, okay, this works. So then I got the Sunday basket. Then I did the all access. Then I signed up for Embrace. And then I bought the work box, the Friday work box. So I would just say that. And the reason why I'm saying all this is that you have just streamlined everything for me. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So like I was not paying my bills late. I was always paying my bills on time, but now it's just quicker, faster. Mm-hmm. I know where everything is right now. It's in fact, everything at this point, if I go to look for something and it's not there, I won't look for it. because it means that someone has taken it and they put it somewhere else. And I literally don't know where it is. So I'm not going to go look for it. Just come up with plan B. So like, just for like the bills and just for all the papers, the binders, I know exactly where everything is now. And I had the file cabinet before and it was very organized, but the binders are easier and quicker.
Mm-hmm. So do you still have a file cabinet?
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just moved on.
Yeah. Me and 1-800 Got Junk are really good friends right now. They've been here a lot.
I like what you said about it, the system just streamlining, because you very quickly moved through all those purchases in rapid succession. In a matter of a couple of months, you basically went through the customer journey as fast as humanly possible. But it what you're saying makes sense to me. You were already good at decluttering before you found Organize 365. You're already in the process of this golden window, big life transition. So really, we just helped you finish the organization part and move you into productivity, which you were already going to get to anyway, just maybe not with as much. I don't want to put words in your head, but I would think that now you know why you set it up the way you did before, whereas before you might have just intuitively set it up the way you would have done it.
I think you sped up the process for me, and I could see that as soon as you started talking about the Sunday basket. And I was like, what in the world is a Sunday basket? So then I think I had to go through your podcast and find specifically the Sunday basket. Mm-hmm. And I could just very, very quickly see where you were going with things. And I was like, I'm a huge person. If the wheel has already been invented, just give me the wheel. I don't mm-hmm. really want to go reinvent it. And if you've got something that works and it works for me that well, I'm like, okay, just give it to me and just let me implement it and go. And I don't have to think about setting up the process. Just the amount of time alone that you saved me in like, okay, well, here's your 100-day program. Go look at this room. Go do this drawer. Or, okay, here's your Sunday basket. Here's all your mail. Here's all your papers. Just get it. Okay, well, here are your binders. Here's your medical binder. Here's your financial binder. Just put the stuff in it and keep it up. And it just, the process just moves so fast.
So you said your filing cabinet was already working for you.
Mm-hmm.
How easy was it for you to move from a working file cabinet into the binders?
I literally took the stuff out of the file cabinet, out of the file folders, punched holes in it and put it in the binder.
And did you find there were things in your file cabinet that you didn't need now? Or?
Yes. Yes. So then, you know, even with that file cabinet, because you were right in what you're saying is that it's, stuff gets stuffed in the back of the file cabinet. And, mm-hmm. you know, you end up finding a lot of stuff that were, the papers were old.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it just made it so much easier. It's just cleaned out. I have much less paper because now it's the financials in just that financial binder. It's not in 12 different file folders.
And did you find that the workbooks that come in each of the binders, did those help you or did you already have paper substantiating that information? Like if you think, yeah.
Well, my job is financial.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I pretty much already had that information, but I did like your inserts that came with them because it's a great checkoff sheet as to, okay, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? And I mean, there were some things that I didn't have copies of that. If somebody needed to find out where my retirement fund was, it would probably be nice if they knew the name of the broker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you mentioned when you emailed me the difference between being a detailed person and a big picture person and how Organize 365 had you thinking differently about organization from detail to big picture. Can you talk about that?
That I think has been like the biggest transformation for me because there's a piece of paper and I know other people can't see this. Can you see this?
Oh yeah. It is the bookmark that you can tear out of the back of the workbox planner.
Okay. Well, it took me months to figure out what to do with this thing because you said that my to-do list was going to go away, but yet the whole piece of paper kept filling up. And one day it was on a video. I don't know which one it was. You said the most simplest thing. You go, well, you just fold it in half like this. And then if you have more things that can fit in this section right here, the to-do section, you're doing too many small things.
And it's about 12 lines.
Mm-hmm. I said, yes, I am. I'm doing way too many small things. So I think what happened in the past was that I would get so caught up in so many small details that I couldn't see the big picture. And so when I started seeing the big picture, it was like, oh, well, those five things I can ask someone else to do, or these four things just don't need to be done. It's repetitive or redundant. Or, okay, so if we can think of, doing one thing in a bucket instead of 25 to do. So I don't put to do's on my to do list anymore.
Right.
It might say, do the monthly statements.
Right. So like, do the Sunday basket means to pay your bills, to go through your mail, to figure out, like, there are 25 things you do when you sit down to do the Sunday basket, but on your to-do list, it just says do Sunday basket.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then kind of grouping together other things that are big things. And then, but really most importantly, and you're almost there, to eliminate all those things if possible. So you don't have to do household maintenance because you just redid the entire house. So all of those things are going to be off your list for years.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Definitely. I mean, even the furnace got replaced. So there was something that I was saying that just left me. Okay. We'll talk. It'll come back.
So like, for example, you know, I change the household furnace filter every month. You can get a subscription where you get those filters sent to you every month or every 3 months. So once you put that on a subscription, then when those filters come to the house, you're like, oh yeah, I need to go change the furnace filter. Or it's the first of the month, I change the furnace filter. Then I used to have that on my to-do list, but I never have that on my to-do list anymore because on the first of the month, you just do that.
Well, I took your monthly checklist and I made my own monthly checklist from that. And I just once a month, it doesn't matter when it is during the month, I grab it, run around the house one day and just do all those things.
And how long does it take you to do it? Do you know?
Oh, probably about 2 hours.
Yeah. Mine's that or less. And then I don't think about those things.
Well, but I mean, that includes refilling the toilet paper thing in the bathroom. Yep. That includes putting soap in the soap dispenser. That includes washing the dishwasher. The dryer.
Which I think is hilarious.
What is hilarious?
I think it's hilarious that we have to wash our washing machine and wash our dishwasher. I think that's funny.
Yeah, but I didn't do it for a long time. And when I did do it, then I understood why you need to do it.
I know, but still, I think it's funny. Well, I just put it on that day.
You were talking about big picture versus little picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have gotten so good at saying no so fast.
Really?
Yes, because now I know where all my time is going and where I what I need to be doing, which has therefore enabled me to say yes to so many things so fast that I want to do.
Nice. Can you give us an example of what you say yes to and what you say no to?
Well, I say no to when people go, oh, you know, we have this volunteer position and can you help? And I'm like, no. And then somebody, you know, they'll be like, well, that's Wednesdays at 12. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. But then somebody else will say, hey, Wednesdays at 12, we're going to lunch. Do you want to go? Yes.
I love that you use the same day and the same time. Why do we not give ourselves permission to do it? Because I don't want to do that. I don't want to volunteer for that thing. I'm done with that part of my life. We've volunteered enough. We'll volunteer again later. Have you experienced any unexpected events in 2021 on your organizational journey?
My sweet, adorable mother. She turned 82 in October, but in May of 2021, she accidentally got ran over by a car.
Oh my God.
And it was very serious. It was her own car. So I was in Alabama for 4 weeks. She was in the hospital forever. She had 6 surgeries, I think, in 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
And she just took one look at me when I got there and she goes, I just want you to know that I will be fine. And I'm going home and I'm going to be healed. And I said, okay. And she is to this day, she is healed. She's wonderful. But I was there for 4 weeks and I literally just had to pack up and leave the house because I actually got a call from the paramedics who said, your mother's been in an accident and we're going to let you talk to her on the phone. And I'm like, that's not good. Why are the paramedics letting me talk to my mother on the phone while she's laying on the ground? And I was like, oh my goodness. So we we chit-chatted, but I obviously had to get in the car and go. But while I was gone, like my house functioned without me. You know, for work, I could just pack the computer up and and take my portable Sunday basket. I literally just threw the computer in the basket, grabbed some clothes, went. But my point that I was trying to make is that, like, if my husband called me, I was like, it's in the financial binder, go get it. He would call me and say, we need this for the office. It's in the office binder, just go get it. My son needed his baseball glove. I'm like, it's in the basement on the bottom shelf. So the house just functioned without me extremely well. And then if anybody had a question, you know, the furnace is not working. Well, then call the repair guy.
Call the guy. then we call people. Would you have been able to do that before? Just leave your house for a month and have everything function?
No. Okay. Would I have left my house before? Yes. Could I have left my house with peace of mind and not been worried and stressed about my house? No. Fact that I left the house, was able to focus on my mom, and I didn't worry about the house, and I didn't worry about how the house was functioning, and I didn't worry if the bills were getting paid, and I didn't have to think, oh my gosh, this needs to be done. So I didn't have that worry. I didn't have that concern.
Yeah. What do you wish you had known sooner?
Well, I think I thought about this and I have two answers. One is, I wish I had known sooner to put the kids' memorabilia in binders. I heard you talk on a podcast about that one time and I was like, oh my gosh, that would have been the best idea ever, instead of all those storage boxes. And then they would have loved to have gone through it and they just could have had a binder for each year. Well, they're adults now. If they want to go back and put their memorabilia in binders, they can do it. I'm not putting their memorabilia in binders now. But I just thought that would have been like the best idea. And that would have been such a fun gift. Now that I'm getting older, for people who are having children, it's to, like, as a gift, give them this binder and say, okay, start with preschool, put the photos in, put the things they write in there, do their artwork in there, and put it in their room and let them look at it. I wish I would have known that, because that would have been so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Second thing I wish I had known is that the silver wasn't real silver, because I don't like polishing silver, and I thought the silver was valuable, but then the whole house thing, I realized that the silver was really kind of silver plated. It's not really worth anything, and it still has to be cleaned and it still has to be polished. So Goodwill got a very large box of silver plated stuff.
I will just say, make sure it's not real silver when you do that, because real silver is worth a lot of money.
I did. Yeah. We did not have real silver.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Now you just have one set of silverware that you like, right?
Yes, it's all gone.
And you don't have to clean anything.
I know. Everything goes in the dishwasher now. Oh, that's my new rule. I don't babysit dishes anymore.
Okay, explain.
If they can't go in the dishwasher, then we can't have them.
So my husband did the laundry the other day. He never does it. And he put my sweater on top of the dryer so it wouldn't shrink. I was like, oh, that's very nice of you. He goes, well, I wouldn't want to ruin any of your clothing. I said, I don't buy things that can't go in the dryer.
Yes.
I don't. And if I do, it goes to the dry cleaner. And there are a few things that I have for speaking and things like that. But honestly, if they ended up in the washer and dryer, whatever. Like, I have nice clothes. I don't spend a ridiculous amount on my clothes. So yeah, I am not beholden to my clothing either.
Same here. Yeah. Anything that requires me to have to think about it has to go.
Exactly. I mean, why not? You guys, I mean, why are we cleaning silverware? Why are we hand washing dishes? Why are we whatever with our clothes? Like, yes, make the things work in our lives instead of us working our things lives. I think that should just be generally on top of a wall somewhere. So what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out, Valerie?
Sunday basket. It builds. I understand why you start with the Sunday basket, because it does. Your program builds on each product in each step builds on the last. And you really do need to lay that foundation of, if you really can't manage your daily mail and you cannot manage the papers in your house, you probably are not in a position to manage larger projects in your house right now. So it's probably best to start with the Sunday basket, get the paper under control, get the bills under control, because I truly feel that that is something that's very achievable, and it only has to be done once a week. It's not a daily thing. So you only have to think about it once a week. And I do think that when you experience the success and that feeling of success, once you have done the Sunday basket, you've now gotten enough confidence and you've now built some enough skills to take on the next thing. Does that make sense? Like, it,
yeah,
it's like, you got to have success at something smaller before you can take on something bigger.
And I often say it takes about 6 weeks to get the Sunday basket where you want it to be. And I don't think it's the amount of work that's in the Sunday basket. Some of it is the amount of work, but the other, and some of it is your brain needs to trust the system. But another part of it is just that there are buckets for all of these things you're doing. And we think it is 25 different things on our checklist. And when you realize, oh, it's this one thing that has 25 steps, it takes a while for your brain to change from 25 individual tasks to one thing with 25 steps. But once your brain makes that change, like this is all Sunday basket, it like melds it together in one piece in your brain. So, and it's not all these little things, it kind of moves around as a chunk now, instead of all this little stuff that keeps coming up into the forefront of your brain. So it really, we're working on the scientific of why it works. We now have doctors looking at it going, yes, we know this solves executive function. Let us figure out if we can articulate it for you and run some clinical studies, which is where we are now in the research. Because the Sunday basket really does do that. It really does create a bigger chunk for all these small tasks that everyone is trying to fit into the nooks and crannies. It's better to eat it as a cookie than to nook and cranny it everywhere in your life.
Well, and it's also something very comforting that when you go get the mail or somebody hands you a stack of papers, I don't even look at it. My first thought is just Sunday basket dump.
Yeah.
Or so I'm not even thinking, oh, this is the water bill. This is a power bill. This is a credit card. This is a letter from the mayor because I put my trash on the wrong side of the street. I just think Sunday basket.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think about what those individual contents are I'm holding in my hand.
I don't either. Yeah, not everyone can get to that level, but boy, when you can, it's so freeing. If it came in snail mail, it can wait till Sunday. I'm just saying.
I agree. Half the time,
totally can wait.
No matter what.
It's not called express mail. It came in your mailbox. You're good. Valerie, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being a guest on the Organized 365 podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organized 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.